Ask you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Short scripture reading today, Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. Let's hear the word of God. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. May God bless that reading of His holy word. My calling as a minister of the gospel and your calling as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to make more and better disciples. We've indicated in our previous sermons that God is interested in numerical growth as well as spiritual growth. We cannot be satisfied with one or the other. It's making more as well as better disciples. In that context, we've been asking the question, what is a disciple? And I've given you several characteristics. A basic definition, if you will, taken from Matthew 28. A disciple is a baptized follower of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who has believed the gospel. You heard the questions that we asked Colby a few minutes ago. Basically, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to save myself. I am without hope apart from the sovereign grace and mercy of God. That's me. And I understand that Jesus came into the world and went to the cross and died a death that He did not deserve, that He died in the place of sinners. And I believe that. And not only do I believe, but I commit my life to Him. My heart, my mind, my hands, my feet, my tongue, everything I commit to Him. A disciple is one who has believed the gospel and committed his or her life to Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who fills himself or herself with the Word of God, using every opportunity that's available. A disciple is one who prays as Jesus taught us to pray. Now today we come to yet another characteristic of a disciple. A disciple is one who sincerely, that is from his or her heart, obeys the Ten Commandments. That's the message, really, that Jesus has for us here in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 17, Jesus says, don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. Now that phrase, law or the prophets, is a reference to the Old Testament. Sometimes the writers of Scripture would refer to the Old Testament that way, law and prophets. Basically the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, the law, the rest of the Old Testament, the prophets. Other times they would refer to the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Again, the law refers to Moses. Psalms refers not only to the book of Psalms, but to those books that we call poetry. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then in that characterization, the rest of the Old Testament is referred to as the prophets. So when Jesus says here, don't think I've come to abolish the law of the prophets, He's saying, I did not come to do away with the Old Testament. Rather, He says in verse 17, I've come to fulfill them. And if you look back at just a few verses in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, Matthew calls attention to this. This is, of course, the birth of Jesus. In verse 22, Matthew says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. This is, of course, referring to the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 2, verse 5. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. That is a reference to the prophet Micah. Chapter 2, verse 15. The middle of the verse, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. This is a reference to Hosea. Well, throughout the gospel, we find things of this nature. Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with it. Instead, I came to fulfill it. Verse 18, he continues that line of thought. He says, basically, not one letter or even a part of a letter is going to disappear until when? See what he says? I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now, he's, of course, talking about the Hebrew. And in the Hebrew, he's talking about the smallest letter. Not the smallest letter of the Hebrew Old Testament will disappear until heaven and earth disappear. But there's some of the letters in the Hebrew that have a special little marking, like a corner that's squared off versus a corner that's rounded off. And he talks about even that little bit of difference there. And, of course, it can make a big difference because it's an entirely different letter, making an entirely different word. And so Jesus says not even the smallest part of a letter is going to disappear until heaven and earth disappear. Well, this prompts a question. The question is something like this. Aren't we free from the law? Have you ever heard someone say, when someone was talking about the Old Testament and someone says, well, that's Old Testament. Ever heard that? I imagine every one of you has heard that. I can just imagine that Jesus might say something like this. So what? So what? What difference does it make as to whether it's Old Testament or New Testament? I did not come to do away with the Old Testament. Rather, I came to fulfill it, and not the smallest part of a letter is going to pass away until heaven and earth pass away. Christians are people of the Bible, not of the New Testament alone. The Bible is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. The New Testament by itself is nothing more than a dagger. The words of Jesus seem clear. Not one jot or tittle will pass until heaven and earth passes away. But people sometimes quote the Apostle Paul in an effort to show that Jesus did not mean what he said. Or else, in an effort to show that Jesus and Paul contradicted one another. Is that true? Well, if you have a high view of Scripture, you know that Jesus and Paul did not contradict one another. When Matthew wrote these words, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through Matthew. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and the Romans and the Galatians, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. The Holy Spirit did not contradict himself when he wrote through Matthew and then later when he wrote through Paul. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of truth. Well, let's look at some of the places in Paul that might give rise to this idea that Paul contradicted Jesus. Turn to the book of Romans. And because of our time, I'm not going to be able to look at all the verses that I've got listed in your bulletin. But the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 14, page 1754, I believe, in the Red Pew Bible. Romans, chapter 6, verse 14. And we're particularly noticing the last part of verse 14. Paul says, "You are not under law, but under grace." Now, that is a verse that is used to tell people you're free from the law. And when they say that, what they usually mean is you're free from the Ten Commandments. You don't have to worry, really, about obeying the Ten Commandments. That's the common meaning. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "You are not under the law, but under grace." Look at the next verse, verse 15. "What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means." Whatever Paul means in verse 14, he doesn't mean it's okay for us to go out and sin. Look at verse 18. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Huh? We're free from the law, but we're slaves? That doesn't sound as though he's teaching that we've been the Old Testament has been done away with, so that we no longer have to concern ourselves with it. Chapter 7, verse 12. Look what he says about the commandments: holy, righteous, good. Well, Paul, you've got me confused here. On the one hand, you say we're not under the law, we're under grace. But then you turn around and talk as though we are under the law. Which way is it, Paul? Well, he gives us the key in chapter 8, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2, the last part. He says, "We are free from the law of sin and death." Now, all this while, we've been thinking he was talking about the Ten Commandments when he says we're free from the law. But here he tells us exactly which law it is that we're free from. We're not free to go out and live as we please. We're not free to live like the devil. We're not free to get down in the mire and wallow in the mire of sin. But as believers, we are free from the law of sin and death. Now, what is that? The law of sin and death. Think back in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 17. God said to Adam, "The day you eat, you will die." Another way of saying that is, the day you break my command, you will die. The day that you sin against me, you will die. That's the law of sin and death. Now, we have it said a little different way by Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. You see, that is the law of sin and death. You sin, and every one of us does. You sin, you're going to die. Not simply a physical death. You're going to die eternally. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to be separated from God in a place of torment. That's what Paul's talking about, this law of sin and death. A person sins, and that person can count on spending eternity in the lake of fire apart from the grace of God. Paul's message is not that grace has set you free to live like the devil. Paul's message is that grace has set you free from this law of sin and death. Big, big difference. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21. The part in parenthesis. I believe it's around page 1781 in the Red Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21. Look at the part in parenthesis. Paul says, I am free. Excuse me. Big mistake there. I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. Now, I've heard this taught before that Paul was here talking about two different laws. He's talking about the law of God, and he's talking about the law of Christ. And what he says is, I'm free from the law of God, but I'm under the law of Christ. And the way that's typically explained is, I'm free from the Ten Commandments, but I am bound by the law of love. Big problem with that interpretation. Paul's not talking about two different laws in this verse. Look carefully. He says, I am not free from God's law. He states it negatively. I am not free from God's law. Then he states it positively. I am under Christ's law. There's one law. It's the same. It's the law of God the Father. It's the law of Christ the Son. It's the law given by the Holy Spirit. Negatively, I'm not free to live as I please, is what he basically says. Positively, as a believer, I am bound to live in accordance with the Ten Commandments. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. The first part of the verse, Paul again explains exactly what it is we're free from. Galatians chapter 3, the first part of verse 13, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Remember the death part a while ago? The law of sin and death. This is another way of referring to the law of sin and death. Christ redeemed us from the curse. You see, the Ten Commandments point at you. The Ten Commandments point at me. And they say, you're guilty, and you're guilty, and you're guilty, and you're guilty, and you're guilty. And the Ten Commandments say, condemned. But then Jesus came into the world, and he went to the cross. And there on the cross, he suffered in the place of God's elect. He suffered in the place of everyone who would sincerely repent and believe the gospel. Or as Paul says in the book of Romans, those who would call upon the name of the Lord, he suffered in their place. He became a curse, as it says here, for us. Free from the Ten Commandments? I don't think so. Free from the curse of disobeying the Ten Commandments? Yes. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the curse of the law. But that by no means means that we can live as we please. Turn on over in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now, you're familiar with what follows this, the fruit of the Spirit. But just before Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, I want you to see what he said. Verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now notice this. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you know what that means. Those who live a life like this are not going to go to heaven. Now, this is not the only thing time that Paul says this. He has a passage in 1 Corinthians where he says essentially this same thing. He has a passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. It's abbreviated, but he says the same thing. You live like this. Now, he doesn't say if this is what you were like. Aren't you glad he doesn't say if this is what you were like? We'd be in a lot of trouble. Because every one of us can look at this list and we can put our finger on one or two or three or more and say, this is what I was like. Paul's talking about those who continue to say to live like this. And remember, he's talking to people who say they're Christians. Writing to a group of churches, today we call it Turkey, in the heart of Turkey, the middle of Turkey, writing to a group of churches, to Christians, at least those who say they are Christians, and Paul says, if you live like this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let me ask you, are we free from the law? Did Paul contradict Jesus? Or did Paul expound upon what Jesus said? I don't think there's any contradiction at all. Jesus said not the least part of a letter will disappear until heaven and earth disappear. Paul did teach us you're free from the curse of the law. In Christ, you're free from the law of sin and death. But he did not teach us that we're free to disregard the Ten Commandments. He did not teach us that we are free to wallow in the mire. He did not teach us that we are free and can live like the devil if we please. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. Not the least part of a letter will disappear until heaven and earth disappears. Let me ask you this day. What is your attitude toward living according to God's commandments? What's your attitude? Are you one of these who's always looking for a way around it? Are you one of these who in your heart you are at rebellion against God? You're saying, I will not live according to His commandments? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, said this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He did not say, blessed are those who make a profession of faith and in their heart they want to live like the devil. But rather, it's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's another way of saying blessed are those who have a heart that desires to live in submission to God's commandments. Does that describe you? You see, that's a description of a disciple. And there's no in-between. It's not like unsaved, saved but not a disciple, saved and a disciple. There are two categories, unsaved and disciples. Now, obviously, disciples mature. Like a newborn baby grows and matures. When a person becomes a Christian, they are at that point a disciple. And the rest of their life is to be a maturing process. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Does that describe you? If you say, I believe the gospel with all my heart, and I have committed my life to Christ, and I do want this righteousness, that's a very good indication that God saved you. Now, elders, can look at members of the congregation, and, you know, we can make judgments based upon what we see. But we can't see the heart. But God can. What I'm saying is, you can fool the preacher. You can fool the elders. But you can't fool God. But if God has worked in you so that you have believed the gospel with all your heart, so that you have committed your life to Christ, and that honestly before God you say, God, I want to live in a way that's pleasing you, that is a very good indication that you've been saved and that one day you're going to live with God forever. On the other hand, if you say, well, Pastor, to be honest, no, I don't want to live for God. I want to live for myself. I want to do what makes me happy. I want to do what makes me feel good. If that's what you say, then I know that you need to come to the Lord. Is it possible that you, like David, have temporarily wandered away? Yeah, that's possible. But it's also possible that you've never been saved. This morning, if you're saying, I really don't want to bother with those Ten Commandments, I want to live for myself. If you're saying that, I exhort you, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Repent, believe the gospel, commit your life to Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus telling us that your commandments have not passed away. We thank you for the words of Paul confirming what Jesus said. That while believers are free from the curse of the law, we are not free to live as we please. Father, we thank you that most of us, possibly all of us, you've saved, you've given us a desire to live for you. But we do ask, if anyone is here who doesn't have this desire, we ask, O God, for your mercy to be upon that person. We ask you to be merciful. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.